glasses. Very funny. Very funny.
This morning we're going to devote most of our attention to what I hope is a critical review of a draft set of guidelines for bilingual education programs that was pulled together from a variety of sources by the Bilingual Bicultural Education Task Force supported by Marshall Newton. To tell you a little bit about that task force and the background of the draft, and to explain sections of the draft to you, there are two people up here on the stage with me this morning. One is Abel Kowalczyk from the Bureau of Indian Affairs Juneau Office. The other is Dick Muller from Fort Yukon. Both of these men have had long experience in Alaska and working with a variety of educational programs in the state. And I'm going to call on Abel first to kind of sketch in the background for you and make some comments about the draft.
Thanks, Gary. Before we go into the state of Alaska's proposed guidelines and regulations, I'd like to recap briefly how they came about. Last fall, Dr. Lynn, the Commissioner of Education, appointed a 9-member task force on bilingual bicultural education. Some of the duties of this task force were to make recommendations in the preparation of these regulations and guidelines, and also for some policy matters, including the development of criteria for the approval of bilingual bicultural education applications for money and plans under the new statutes in Alaska. The task force had a deadline of June 1st, 1976 to submit a final copy of these guidelines. Members of the task force are indicated on the back of your program if you want to know who they are. The members were appointed not on the basis of representing any particular ethnic group or any particular region or agency, but they were appointed based on a commitment to accomplish these appropriate guidelines and regulations to bicultural bilingual education. This was not a very easy task. I kind of wish we had the services of Linda Morrell and Dave Rosenfeld and Antonio Fernandez with us in the drafting of these guidelines. I do want to stress on the copies you have, you'll see the letters DRAFT, which means draft. And that's all these guidelines are. They are a draft. We are not locked in on any of these regulations and guidelines at this time. As Dan pointed out yesterday, you know, in his legal review, he looked at some serious omissions he thought. One, namely, there's no mention of the legal right to bilingual bicultural education in these guidelines. He also mentioned his concern there are no enforcement procedures set into these guidelines. So as we say, this is a draft. Following this general session, we'll be breaking up in smaller groups. You'll have a chance to react to these guidelines. We want your input. Hope you'll have your input. So these guidelines will not be, as Marshall Lynn indicated yesterday, cumbersome, buried in unnecessary paperwork or red tape. Once we do receive your input, the regulations will be finalized. They will be presented to the State Board of Education for action. It is our understanding once State Board of Education react to, then they will conduct public hearings, and they'll be soliciting testimony in regards to these guidelines and regulations before they're finally adopted. So if you'll bear with us, we'll try to take a brief look at these guidelines now, and I'll turn this over to Dick Mueller. Dick.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the guidelines, the draft guidelines, and turn to page 1. Had a lot of time on, because there's not time to read it through, and you wouldn't want me to. Let's jump down to the bottom of the page, under definitions, section 20, definitions. The first one, definition number 3, at the very bottom of the page. Bilingual bicultural education means a comprehensive school program using two or more languages in the classroom and incorporating the cultural elements that are inherent, and the word is not inherent, but inherent in those languages. Task Force spent quite a bit of time on this. There's a number of questions involved, and why did we state it exactly as we did? When we say bilingual in two languages, then Ryan heard it, we say two or more languages, because we looked at the possibility that you may have more than, oh yeah, call it a bilingual program if you want to. We don't want to limit it there. An important part in state law is the hyphen, bilingual, hyphen, bicultural, and so we've spoken here to the fact that the cultural elements are supposed to be part of that program. If you don't conduct a bilingual bicultural program without involving the cultural elements that are in that language. In other words, you don't translate Dick and Jane into Yupik and have a bilingual program. Okay, number 4. Give us another definition. The children of limited English speaking ability means, it's kind of right out of the law. What's that mean? We've interpreted it to mean children not born in the United States, whose native language is other than English, and who have difficulty performing ordinary class work in English. Or B, which applies more to most of you, children who were born in the United States of non-English speaking parents and who have difficulty performing ordinary classwork in English. Right, that then, by my interpretation, says that your school kids may not speak English. The parents do, and the effect of the native influence on them means that they're not up to grade level. And if that's not satisfactory, recommend some changes for us. Number 5. Children whose primary language is other than English means the child's home language. So in the law, when we've spoken in primary language, we've interpreted it to mean the child's home language. You notice that's not saying any more than the language of that child's home. It's not saying the child necessarily speaks it. It's not saying it's the dominant language for that child. It's saying it's the child's home language. Question. Through the educational system, Such instruction is developed from elements of the cultural, of the culture inherent in the particular native language. I see number 10 as being rough, yet specifically because it speaks one, two native languages, the implication is native languages in Alaska. We've tried to get all the guidelines to speak to either native languages or immigrant languages. So we may want to make some changes in that. It also speaks specifically to the fact that in bilingual education, we're talking about English and a native language. I'm not certain that they may want to do that or not. That's a possibility.
It does refer back to a previous section.
Right. Another possibility might be changing the word native to ancestral. That may do it. But we still have the possible problem of using English in there. In some state laws, in other states, they have English and another language in them. Others just say two languages. I'm not sure that's in the Alaska state law that says our kids have to be schooled in English. I don't know. All right, let's skip ahead to section 30. Section 30, entitled Elements of a Bilingual Bicultural Program. The things in here are basically what you are going to need to do in order to have a grant considered. And I'm not going to stop on any of those points now. Let's turn to page 4. Well, the bottom of page 3, number 4, starts it. Bottom of page 3, number 4, the very bottom line. The program shall serve an identified target population of no less than 8 children in a district according to the following program priorities. Now, we set priorities. You may not like them specifically if you're from a place where the kids don't speak native as their first language. The priorities. A, first priority, programs directed to monolingual speakers of a language other than English. Emily. Monolingual means they speak one language, and that means language here in this case, then speakers other than English. So this would be like the Yupik area, or the St. Lawrence Island, Yupik language, where the kids come to school speaking a language other than English, basically only. B, second priority, programs directed to bilingual speakers whose proficiency in either language is not sufficient for instructional purposes. That essentially means the kids aren't working up to grade level. C, third priority, programs directed to monolingual English speakers whose speech patterns or speech proficiency are limited by the language of their home environment. And fourth priority, programs directed to monolingual English speakers whose proficiency in their native or ancestral language or languages is limited. And when we first considered this, we said whose parents or the children would desire to be taught their native language, even though they may have no knowledge of it at all. But just students or students whose parents would like to have the kids taught their native language. All right, let's then go down through the rest of the page quick. Number 5 is program objectives. Number 6 is a comprehensive program design. Number 7 is parent and community involvement. Number 8 is staffing requirements, not requirements, and job descriptions. Number 9, a comprehensive evaluation design. We're down on page 5. Number 10, information on how you're going to get materials, the design materials. Number 11, staff training, how are you going to train your staff. 12, where are you going to get your funds, what funds do you have available. 13, what's your budget? 14, how are you going to disseminate or distribute information on the program to the parents and the community? And that's pretty well goes through that section. The next section I'll turn over to Mr. Paul Decker. Thank you.
Again, as Dick pointed out, we're not going to go through these item by item. That's what our following section is for. We're trying to give you an overview of what the intent of these sections are. For example, section 40, we're dealing with what monies that you get from the state and what can you use them for. Basically, section 40 says we use it for planning, establishing, and improving or maintaining bilingual bicultural programs. Funds are available for 1 year only. That's spelled out there in A, and they need to be renewed the following year. New applications will have to be submitted every year. There's no multi-year funding at the present time. Skipping over to C, the amount of monies that would be available can be determined by the items listed there under 1, 2, and 3. And 2 again, the final authority on the amount of monies that will be available under any grant will be determined by the Commissioner of Education. Moving over to D, 1, the task force spent a great deal of time in this area, largely because of the importance of the need for having qualified, trained personnel in this program. As was pointed out yesterday in the keynote address, that staff training is essential. And as I said, how much money should be specifically earmarked for training staff? The task force kicked around various percentages, 10, 15, 20. So basically, the tentative draft says we should spend no less than 10% of the money for staff training. You can spend more, but no less than 10%. 3 basically deals with staffing and recruitment. 4, evaluation. 5 is the supply, software, equipment, materials. So we're going through this rather rapidly because we'll have several hours this morning to go through these item by item and get your reactions. 6, getting back to parental and community involvement. Monies are available in your grant. 7, taking care of our travel needs in a program. Looking at E, State Department says they are available to provide technical assistance to school districts upon request. Need help putting your grant application together, State says we're ready to help you. Briefly, this is a real quick summary of Section 40. One thing I did leave out this morning on our task force presentation in our meeting Monday, a real concern was expressed that we probably need more native representation on the task force. But as we close off our meeting Monday, we did recommend to the commissioner to add additional members from the Native community on the task force. Our indications are that the commissioner will honor this request.
Okay, let's skip ahead on page 8 then. Section 50 is application for grant. Now we're talking about the state bilingual funds. Some of you may not be up on what's going on this past year. $638,000 was appropriated by the legislature for bilingual education, of which I think about $538,000 went to state-operated schools at the Unorganized School District, $100,000 went to the Department of Education. Beginning July 1st, the appropriation from the legislature will not go only to the unorganized borough school district or the regional educational attendance areas, but to every district in the state that qualifies. The commissioner made a request for $1.2 million for bilingual education. The governor's review committee cut that to $583,000. So that's what the fund now stands at, the request of the legislature to ask for the bilingual education. I noticed that about $50,000 less than we had in the past year to do one bilingual program to get out. Concerned about that, it's going to talk to you necessarily. Okay, so we're talking about that money. There will be a procedure of applying for the money. At the present, it looks like it's going to be competitive proposals. Task force very much would like to see a foundation fund system of funding per capita, but there are problems involved with it. One of those is if we do that, the legislature will have to pass a law allowing for bilingual education to be funded by a foundation system. So again, if you'd like that, come up with some recommendations that we can all lobby for in the legislature. All right, I'm not going to read much in section 50. Skipping to page 9. The first item in your grant application will be a school district philosophy of bilingual education. Now, if you will turn to the back of this whole draft, appendix A. Attached to the back of the draft is Appendix A and Appendix D. There are two items that we passed, the task force passed on Tuesday, so they're not incorporated in the guidelines, but this is a draft philosophy of bilingual education in the state of Alaska. But to read through it, it comes out of the original state bilingual education bill that was passed by the legislature in 1971 and 72, with just a very slight amount of shifting. Establishment of a bilingual program of education will tend to bring about an end to the deprecation of local cultural elements and values by the school, stimulate better communication between the community and the school in solving educational problems, affect a positive student self-image, provide more effective use of both English and the student's language, foster more successful secondary and higher education careers, ease the obtaining of employment, allow genuine options for all students in choosing a way of life, and facilitate more harmonious relationships between their cultures and the mainstream of society. Adoption of a bilingual program of education for students who are speakers of a language other than English will encourage the development of educational materials relevant to history, legends, folklore, artistic expressions, and characteristic lifestyles by recognizing that all cultures are a legitimate source of study and interest. This is the sort of thing we need for philosophy in, back on page 9. Jumping back to page 9 then, just quickly going down to it. Number 2, the description of the program objectives, what the program is going to do. Number 3, an explanation of the program design. Number 4, a timeline. When are you going to do the things you say in your program? Number 5, show us that the parents and the community are involved. Number 6, what's the staff going to look like? Give their qualifications and job descriptions. Number 7, an organizational chart. Number 8, nature and extent of material development of where you can get your materials. Number 9, what's your staff training going to be? Number 10, what's your program evaluation? Number 11, what's your budget? And that's pretty well for the grant application. We've attempted to put in here everything that you'll need so that you know what sort of bilingual program you're going to run. Section 60, criteria for application review. This is the point system which your applications will be graded on. You'll note 30 points for number A on student participation. Number B is training, is the training component. And the second line of that, it should read, of the program, develop a training component. The word and is in between there. It doesn't make sense if you leave it there. So cross it out, and it's clear what we're talking about. Develop a training component. Section C is 15 points on evaluation design. Section D, again, staff members...